So let us pray to Sumundar Sen that we should also get an opportunity to be able to see Krishna like that. So our what is name Maharaj? Parikram Maharaj plays the role of Bhima. He is Bhima and he supports Bhima. So Maharaj said, now our Bhima has become old, so he does not want to say anything because he is too old. He said, so tell me, that did Sumundar Sen became Manjari in Vrindavan? Then Maharaj said, there is hint by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he became. So he said, no, he did not become. There is no. There was a fight on this point. Yeah, saying that he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the hint. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he is narrating the whole story, that he could see Krishna in the Braj Bhav, and that is as the gopis are seeing, and he saw that Kumudvan, and he saw that Krishna on the swing, and gopis are swinging, and everything he saw according to his Bhav, and he has attained positively, and at the same time he is saying Mahaprabhu, so Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, he could get it. Then he said, no, he was saying, but his point was that though the Bhima will remain Bhima always, and Hanuman will remain Hanuman. If you narrate this katha to Hanuman, Hanuman not will become a gopi. If you reveal this katha to Bhima, he will not become gopi. If you will tell all this katha that gopis are becoming angry and we are just chastising Krishna, Krishna will, Bhima will come and run after with his gada. He is fit for that only. He can't understand these things. So then Maharaj in the last said, yes, I do agree. He said this thing, I do agree that Bhima will remain Bhima. But then jestingly he said that you said that Bhima is always with his gada. But you know, in front of Draupadi, all the Pandavas became helpless. They were totally controlled by Draupadi. If Draupadi will say, stand up, they will stand up. If she will say, sit down, they will sit down. And he has left all the clubs and everything from his hand. They were entirely in the hand of Draupadi. Do you know why? But that's all. Why? Because she controls them. So when they are being controlled by Draupadi and Draupadi is controlled by Krishna. So this was, it was only jesting. But he accepted this thing. Maharaj said, that is right, that Bhima will remain Bhima and Hanuman will remain Hanuman. Because Trivikram Maharaj every time insists upon one point that we should not tell these kathas to everyone. Maharaj said that those who are Mahaprabhu's devotees, at least they can hear it to generate a greed in them. Then we came to Champahati. Then in Champahati, Maharaj narrated the story of Jayadev Goswami. I think I don't need to tell the same thing. It was 100% same thing, where Jayadev Goswami could not dare to write that Krishna, in order to please Radharani, is becoming so much surrendered that he is saying, look, here is my head on your feet, please, you should be pleased. Please, you should be pleased. So, I don't know, I have to find out the word whether it is groveling or not. Ismar Gadal Khandanam. Then, he could not write this thing, he went to the for bathing, then Krishna himself came and asked his wife that bring my books again, my copies again. There he completed the sentence and then he again went away. Oh, I am going to take bath. Just as Krishna left, again main real Jayadev Goswami came. And he said, what happened to you? You are so much, you came after taking bath so early? He said, I took full time. No, you just went now and you are just coming now. I did not go now, I went along back. Then she said, no, you came here, you asked for your book and a copy, and then you wrote something in it, and then you went away. He said, drink coffee. He became more curious and anxious. And there this slok was written, Smar Garal Khandanam, Mam Sirsi, Mandanam, Dehi Pad Pallavam, Udaram. This means, Maharaj was explaining the word Mandanam. Mandanam means ornament, which beautifies your Pad Pallam, your lotus feet are ornaments of my head. Your lotus feet, they are ornaments of my head. Please give them. And Smar Garal Khandanam, because your man, your anger is like poison for me. I am unable to live. If you will keep on remain in this man avastha, it is very difficult for me to live. And he fell down at the lotus feet, at the feet of his wife. You are so fortunate that you encountered, you saw Krishna. Krishna came and you served him. So he was so much. And then he became unconscious, Maharaj was saying. And it is said that if really you want to do bhajan in absorbed mood, then you have to read all these things of Geet Govinda. But in spring of an advanced devotee. Tannamrit Charitam. This is the essence of all the upadesh. Upadesh means teaching. Essence of all the upadesh. That anugat hokar in a falling off, or what we call anugat? Falling off a rasik bhakta, always remember Krishna, chant Krishna by our mind, by our tongue, in the falling of Brijvasi. We really want to understand all these things and inner mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we should read also Geet Govinda. So this was announcement by Srila Maharaj today. God Premanande.
You know, 55 chapter 6, you know, that's what then he says in the last verse of chapter 6, yogi nama kisha lecham nargita but out of all yogis, the one who just fixes his heart on me, and he worships me with devotion is the highest of all, like that, you know. So if you get into the chapter as a whole, the conclusion of the chapter, then that mistake is eradicated, and we can all stop sitting staring on our nose, right, you know. Right. Like I know one devotee actually, when he was a quite young devotee, he was telling everyone, because when you get it says this, the best way to chant japa is just to stare at the tip of your nose while you're doing it. And it's brilliant. I've been doing it for 3 days and my japa's been sitting like anything, and he went around telling everyone. You know, like that. Now, this is bogus, but it's in the Gita. So right. This is why you can't just take a verse and say, this is answer, is you have to stare at your nose.
Right.
You know? You have to do the sangati with first the chapter, then the rest of the book, and then with the whole body of Shastra as a whole, these things. And then what you're left with, that's called Siddhanta. That's called a Siddhanta.
So where's this all written down,
this
whole system?
I don't know where it was originally written down, but you'll find it in Baladeva Devotion's Govinda Bhakya. And Srila Prabhupada, the founder of ISKCON, dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to, he said, I dedicate this Bhagavad Gita to Baladeva Devotion, the author of Govinda Bhakya. So Baladeva Devotion has written the Govinda Bhakya, which is his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and with every sutra, he goes, thanks, Vishai, Kurva Pakta, Sangati, and the three levels, and Siddhanta. This is how Baladeva Devotion, because the little sutras of Vedanta Sutra, you know, you can take them like in millions of ways, Mayavad and all ways. So he's saying, no, you can't just take it and say this is the meaning.
So then,
well, you know the Jiva issue. You know the Jiva issue. So Sachin Narayan, who's a great pundit, he wrote this book in Vaikuntha, not even the lead school. So he wrote this book like that, to stop. to stop all the wriggling around, you know, you have to go through this process. So if you read that one, not only Purusha Vaikuntha, he's written it, Sanshay, Vishay Sanshay, Suravapaksha, Sangati, and Siddhant, like that, to show the Siddhant that we don't fall, even though so many people may have said, or apparently said, or seem to have said that we did. But if you go through this, you actually end up with the Siddhanta.
Right.
You know? So, even amongst ourselves, we should speak like this, because by doing it in this way, then we become very strong.
Right.
And actually, this Govinda Bhakti of Alabet Ned Vidyabhushan, you were there at Rasikananda's temple, right, when we went there in Puri?
Right.
So Lalit Mohan was reading about the life of Rasikananda and some of his gurus. So one of the gurus he said was, in his diksha line, two devotees down, Baladeva Vidyabhushan appeared. And then it described in his biography how Baladeva Vidyabhushan was able to write. He wrote Govinda Bhakti in one night. Because the pandits were threatening him. He said, your sampradaya doesn't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, so you're not bona fide. He said, but the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, we have that. He said, no, you have to have your own. We also have the Bhagavatam, you have to have your own. Oh, and he was crying, you know, what can I do? And he prayed to Govinda, and he wrote it in one night. So then, there's two mysteries about how he wrote it. One is that Govinda directly inspired him, that's what people say, and it's true. But there's a deeper reason of how he wrote this Govinda Bhakti. And Lalit Mohan was revealed it here. I'd heard it before years ago, but completely forgotten it. So wonderful. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya preached the Vedanta Sutra to Mahaprabhu for 7 days and nights, all according to Sankacharya's Mahavad Bhakya, then Mahaprabhu listened and then finally said, look, I don't know whether you've understood or not, so please tell me. And then Mahaprabhu said, oh, the way you're describing it, just covering it like black clouds cover the sun. And then he said, okay, you explain. So then Mahaprabhu, then he spoke. And it's not in the text, what he said is not in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It just says like he defeated, there's a few ideas. There's like, maybe like there's 10 arguments. But then it goes on and he gave so many arguments like this. And I was always wondering, well, how did Mahaprabhu defeat him?
Right.
You know, like that. So apparently, when Mahaprabhu was smashing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for hours on end, you know, just left and right, like anything, then his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, was there listening. So apparently, Gopinathacharya, when he finished his pastime in Mahaprabhu, and he left this world, he took birth again as Baladeva Vidyabhushan. And so what Baladeva Vidyabhushan wrote, which is his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, is actually what Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So it's Mahaprabhu, who is actually Radha Krishna, Rasaraj Mahabhad, his explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. And it's actually his own refutation of the Sairaka Bhasha of Sankaracharya, heard by Gopinathacharya, who appeared again as Baladeva Vidyabhushan and wrote it down. So this Govinda Bhakti is actually from the lips of Mahaprabhu. Very wonderful. Just like we find out in Gurudev's Upadeshamrita, that the Upadeshamrita was also, it came from the lips of Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami when he was just coming down, you know, from one of his wild paths in Puri. You know, so it's just so wonderful. It's Govinda Bhakti.
So is there an English version of this coming?
Yeah, there. You can. I'm sure you can buy it. Swami Vivekananda's bookshop. When you step off the gap on the other side, I have to go there tonight to give the reply.
Right.
You can go together if you like.
Yeah, I'd like.
As you step off the gap, there's Swami Vivekananda's bookshop. They have it there, and it's sold out. When I went to ISKCON, they have a bazaar, and in this bazaar there's one bookshop, and they're selling books on anything that's remotely connected to the Vedas. Yeah. So they have like the whole commentary. It's like a big hardcover book, like this thick. But it won't be more than, I don't think it'll be more than 200 rupees, you know. Big fat book, the whole commentary of Balak, the whole Vedanta Sutra and his commentary.
Wow.
I actually, all this about Prabhupada Pachaya, I learned it from this book. I learned it from here. And then when I read Satyanarayana's book, I thought, oh, he's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing.
Well, what is this book called?
Govinda Bhakti.
Oh.
It's about the Baladeva Vidyabhushan commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Actually, it's Mahaprabhu's commentary.
I really like that argument,
but I've got solid foundation, so no one can shake that. Well, Jiva Goswami is giving his Sandarbhas. So yesterday, we were hearing about the pastime of when we went to Vijayanagara. So Jiva Goswami said to Lord Nityananda, he said, but the goal is bhakti. So this place is Vidyanaga. There's a place for Vidya, for knowledge in the Dham. So if knowledge, Jnana, is inauspicious and against Bhakti, then why does Jnana have a place in Mahapur Dham? And Nityananda said to Guru Goswami, no. Jnana is not inauspicious, knowledge is not inauspicious. He said, here in the Dham, Jnana, Vairagya, and Karma, Jnana, and Vairagya, they're all the servants of Bhakti Devi. So when they're serving Bhakti Devi, then it's very good.
Right.
Only those devious persons who don't accept Bhakti, when they use Jnana, then it becomes inauspicious.
Right.
So then Jiva Goswami's doubt was removed. And he sent Nityananda, and Nityananda Prabhu empowered him to give knowledge. So then Jiva Goswami was empowered by Nityananda. He wrote the Sandarbhas. Six Sandarbhas. So all of this is also in the Sandarbhas. So the Sandarbhas begin with Tattva Sandarbha. The first one, Tattva Sandarbha. So the first thing that Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha, he says, any philosophy which does not begin with an epistemology. Epistemology means the philosophy of knowledge itself. Any philosophy which doesn't begin with its epistemology is just teaching. It's just feeling. Like I say, Jesus is God.
Right.
Can you say? What can you say? Can you say why? Because it's just not in the Bible.
Right,
So where does the Bible come from? From God.
Right.
You know, so you just got the circular argument, you know, like that, and you can't argue, no one can argue with it,
right. Because
it's a short circuit, it just electrocutes itself, you know.
Right.
So mainly with any philosophy, you'll see that usually they don't have an epistemology, so it can't, in the true sense of the word, it can't be called a philosophy. So then the first thing that Jiva Goswami does in Tattva Sandarbha is, after saying this, he said, now I'll explain the epistemology of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the science of knowledge. Then he gives 10 different ways. There's many ways to collect knowledge in this world. So he breaks it into 10 different categories. And then he explains how out of the 10 categories, 9 of the categories are useless. And he proves the fault in each one. And then you're left with only one. You're only left with one that actually could work. Like, even logically, there's only one that can actually give you perfect knowledge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Called Shabda Brahma. You see? So there's only one that gives you perfect knowledge, Shabda Brahma. Why? Because Shabda Brahma means the absolute sound of the Vedas. Not even the Vedas, you can't just read the Vedas. The Vedas have to come out from the mouth of a self-realized soul. Why? Because the absolute truth being absolute, only an agent of the absolute can reveal the absolute. Because it's absolute. Yeah. And when that sound, because the sound of the Siddhant coming from the mouth of the pure devotee, because he's realized it, that sound is non different from the truth itself. And if your heart is submissive and you receive that sound submissively, then that truth can manifest in your heart. In other words, when the Guru tells you about Krishna stealing butter, if you hear it submissively, you'll see Krishna sneaking into the room. You'll see the whole. So the proof is not that, you know, well, how do you know it's true? The proof is you see it. Complete. That's what Shabda Brahma means.
Right.
To hear in Parampara means the Guru sees it. And when you listen to him, you also see it.
Right.
Not only do you see it, but you touch it, taste it, smell it, and everything. Because the absolute truth is absolute. In other words, you can't get a piece of the absolute and put it on a slide, you know, and look at it under a microscope. You can't take a piece off. You can't say, this is the absolute's over there, but his name's Krishna. You can't take his name away and give it to someone. It's called Advaita Tattva, the indivisible truth. So where Krishna's name is, his form is there, and his pastime, and his dharma, and his associates, and his smell, and everything. You see? So the only way to get knowledge is a person who's self-realized, he gives you the full package. And he gives it you in the form of transcendental sound vibration, like that. So Jiva Goswami establishes Guru Parampara and the process of the hearing process to be primary way of learning what the truth is. And the systematic proofs are every other thing, like logic, reason, hypothesis, sense perception, history, historical examples, and all of these things. How actually, when they are in conjunction with this process, they're useful. But without this process, they're all useless. Why? Because the Jiva's got the four defects. He was talking about this. Sivananapu was talking about this at Nirgagat. Brahma Pramada Vita Lipsa Karna Patava. Asa Vigya Vakya Nahi Dosha Esava. mistakes, illusion, cheating, and imperfect senses, these never occur in the words of the self-realized soul. So every person is not self-realized, they have these four defects, so they can never give you knowledge.
So what preaching can actually be done by a conditioned soul? What's the extent of the preaching of a non-self-realized soul?
Nothing practical. Yeah, that's all he can do.
Right.
Siddhartha Maharaj said, a man, if a man is drowning, how can he help another man who's drowning? And everyone said, no, he can't. He said, yes, he can. He can say, there's a boat.
Right.
You see, like that. So we have to learn Siddhartha and the teachings of our Gurudev, and then we just go, and like an instrument, we just repeat what we've heard. And because we're only repeating what we've heard, and we're doing it, if we're doing it without any motive, then it's said like a lotus flower. Yeah. That's why there's that verse. That's why there's that verse is there. Harinama. What? Harinama. What? Harinama. Oh, Harinama. What's it for? Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nasteva. Well, I want to do Dhyana Yoga. Kalau Nasteva. In Kali, it's the only way. But I don't believe it. Nasteva. Really? Nasteva. No. The verse, it goes like that. Harinama. Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nasteva. Nasteva. Three times, this is the Vedic culture. You tell someone three times, so in the same way, this verse, it says Anu three times. Because Anu means, Anu has two meanings, has many meanings, but two Gurudev gave were Nirantara, means constantly, and Anugatha means to be under the guidance, to follow under guidance. So this is the problem. So unless we constantly do our bhakti under guidance of a qualified guru, then we can't actually understand what it is. So what we see is those persons that took shot of Prabhupada and then he left. No, he didn't take any guidance. He can't make any progress. Nothing. Now, the Siksha Guru is the direct manifestation of Rupa Goswami. So if you reject taking Siksha from the Siksha Guru, you're rejecting Rupa Goswami. If you reject Rupa Goswami, how will you understand his teaching?
Right.
This is the point.
Right.
The Gurudev is teaching Rupa Nuga Bhakti, and they don't know what it is. How do you understand Rupa Nuga Bhakti is yet Rupa Goswami? The Diksha Guru is a direct manifestation of Srinathan Goswami. Even in Prabhupada's book, in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath, three deities. Madan Mohan, Srinathan Goswami's deity, he's the deity of Sambandha Gyan. And the Diksha Guru, who gives you Sambandha Gyan, is a manifestation of Srinathan Goswami, whose deity is Madan Mohan. Abhidaya Satya is Bhakti. The deity is Govinda. Who has established the deity of Govinda in Vrindavan? Rupa Goswami. Why didn't Rupa Goswami establish Madan Mohan? Srinathan Goswami established Govinda. There's a reason for it. Because one is the Acharya of Sambandha Gyan, one is the Acharya of Abhideya Satya. And the Acharya of Abhideya, Rupa Goswami, he's manifest in this world now as the Siksha Guru. And the Diksha Guru is the direct manifestation of Srinathan Goswami. And then the Purojan, Gopinath is a manifestor, is the deity of Purojan Sattva. Why? Because Gopinath is doing rasa on the bank of the Yamuna. That's our goal. To enter Krishna's rasa. That's our goal. So, because the Madan Mohan means to the world of Cupid. Like that. So, that means, in other words, he kills all of our natural desires. But Gopinath is playing his flute and dancing with the gopis. So that's our goal. So, the Acharya of Prayojan, the Acharya of Prayojan is who? Raghunath Das Goswami. Where? All these devotees, Sanatana, Rupa, and Raghunath, they are very high devotees. It's not that Sanatana and Rupa don't know the Prayojan, they all know. But they've come and done pastimes to establish a particular tattva, like Haridas Thakur was establishing the what is the holy name. And, for example, Ramananda Roy is called Rasa Tattva in Ramananda Sama. So each personality is the multi associate taught something. So Raghunath Das Goswami has taught the world Prayojan Tattva. What is that? Survive us me, Najivani, Radharani, I'm yours. This is the Prayojan. What's the use of my life? What's the use of Vajradham? If you don't give me mercy, I'll die. I'm even disgusted with Krishna now, Radharani, if you don't give me your service. Who has said these things? Only Raghunath Das Goswami, because this is our Prayojan. Yes, yes. It's all in the chapter, and this is there. Everything is there, but they don't know any of this. They have no idea, no idea whatsoever. So, because you know, if I walk over to ISKCON and say, "All people, please gather around. I'm going to speak about Raghunath Swami's conclusion." Everyone will say, "Not now, Prabhu. I'm going to get, take a pizza in the new Italian restaurant." You know, maybe we can discuss it there. But, no, I'm sorry, I can't go there. The rock music's too loud to have a discussion about chapter in the new Italian restaurant. So you know, no one will be interested. But fortunately, Krishna has created this circumstance where the whole world, the eyes of the world are watching. Well, what's going on between, you know, this little guy, this little dormitory of Nirangaj, and this big sannyasi? What's going on here? Like that. So,
It's
a great format. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has used the same format in Java Dharma. Java Dharma is not a book like, this is the Sattva, this is the Sattva, this. It's conversations and arguments. You want to go to somewhere about this, and it's like this, and you read it and you follow it. So, like this, hopefully, everything will come out. It would be nice. Rupa and Raghunath, I'm saying, oh, devotees, give me some mercy.
What time are you going? What time are you heading over?
Well, I think I have to make the letter today.
Right.
And print it out. And then
read.
I'll tell you what, let me do it. Nice reflect. Swayameva
Swarasya Dasa. There is a verse.
Atashi Krishna Namadi,
Namadjaminjai.
And then last line says Swayameva Swarasya Dasa. When you become seven Mukhi, then name the
Manasa. He saw that Krishna.
Yes.
Because he had that
Yes.
So Krishna would appear and disappear. That Krishna held his hand. Is that it?
Yes.
That was it.
Yes.
Yes.
More than that. Actually, what happened was when Radharani, when Krishna disappeared, and he was in Vrindavan, and he was going over to his tongue and tongue. And then he could hear Radha and Krishna having a conversation. And I can't remember, do you remember what it was? You know the first time? And Radharani was saying, "Why don't you help your devotee with something like this?" And then Radharani came to him and gave him a benediction that his eyesight would come back. So his eyesight came. And then he looked and he saw Radharani, and then he said, "I asked for one benediction. Take my eyes away."
Right, yeah,
and Radharani.
Yeah.
Because Little Cinema told me the story about Kapha in relation to the name the last time I saw.
Did he tell the story about Radharani giving his eyes away?
He finished with a part, because I was leaving, he finished.
Someone's eyes will never see anything else. I only see you, and now you take away and then I never see anything.
No, he didn't. I was leaving, he finished with a part that he let go of my hand, and you can run away from my heart, but I have my hand, but I dare you to ever run away from my heart. And I left.
Have a look in, if you look in Shikshastika, and you look under the section Anurag, and then you look in Madhurika Dandini, under train, the definition of train, and you can see the definition. The example given in Madhurika Dandini is similarly from Madhurika, isn't it? The story of Lalit Madhav.
Yeah.
When Krishna comes from behind and grabs Radharani, stops him from going into the fire, and in fire. He talks about this and says, "Well, what kind of Krishna was this? Because this is outside of Vrindavan." He said, "Actually, this is Vrajendra Nandan Krishna, but this is the moment he appeared." Take the point of it, so they get really angry if everybody's done.
That's a night class?
Yeah.
8
p.m.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mine should come more close.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 ready. So,
where's the kitchen? Do you know about it? I have a lot. The kitchen house? I hope. Yeah, she's going to Bajan. She's in Bajan.
Okay. He's in Bajan?
Yeah.
Cool.
The Bajan, the mother singing.
Kirtan, not Bajan. This is Kirtan.
Okay.
Yesterday, Pujabhad Vaman Maharaj was giving class, I was hearing it, what could I understand? He also said there is difference between bhajan and sadhana.
Mm-hmm. Difference
is? When one is realized and then he chants and thinks about with his connection with Krishna, then it is bhajan. And if he is not realized, no why? I should speak loudly. You can come here. So, yesterday Guruji started, day before yesterday, not yesterday. Day before yesterday, on 11th, 8 p.m., he first offered his obeisances to Gurudev by saying that I offer my Pushpanjali to Gurudev. Instead of saying obeisances, he used the word Pushpanjali. Pushpanjali means my heart as a flower, I am offering it to my Gurudev. And he briefed the morning program and parikrama which we did. He said, first we went to Prola Maya. Habitant people, they don't keep her as Prola Maya. In fact, they worship her as Kali Maya. But in fact, she is Yog Maya. Is Yog Maya. Say Yog Maya. Then he explained Yog Maya. Krishna has only one potency. Basically, Maharaj said, basically Krishna has only one potency. One is potent and he has potencies. There is no question of so many potencies. But his one potency has so many varieties, so many capacities, so many competencies. So according to its action, it has been categorized as many other forms. One potency, only one power of Krishna is called his Savrup Shakti. Savrup Shakti means, can this be closed? I think then light will not be there.
It will be dropped. And so the sound will come anywhere.
Yeah. Savrup Shakti means, Krishna's own potency. The translation of Savrup, Savrup means his own form, and Shakti means, which is his own Shakti, which he has not borrowed from anywhere else. Savrup Shakti means his own potency not being borrowed from anywhere else. He is Aladhani. Then Maharaj said that Savrup Shakti is in fact Aladhani potency. Aladhani potency is the potency which always pleases its master. According to different Kriya, Kriya means activities. According to different activities, same potency has been given different nomenclature. One name is Yog Maya. What is the work of Yog Maya? He gives Sid Bal to living entities. He gives spiritual power to living entities to enter into the spiritual world. This spiritual power is called Sid Bal. Sid means transcendental and Bal means force. Living entities are situated on the marginal point. They are at the junction of spiritual potency and material potency. unless they get spiritual force, they cannot enter into spiritual eternal potency of Lord. Understood? Maharaj was saying, this yoga maya enables the living entities to become eligible to enter into personal spiritual abode. And also, yoga maya makes Krishna to forget his godheadness. And she makes all the living entities of Vrindavan Dham to forget that Krishna is God. This is also the activity of yoga maya. The same yoga maya, when she comes in the hands of a person like comes, becomes mahamaya, external potency. And the same yoga maya, if she comes in the hands of a person like comes, she becomes mahamaya, then she doesn't remain yoga maya. This mahamaya is external potency. Then when we went to Jagannath Das Babaji's Bhajan Kutir, there we have discussed many points. Maharaj explained. The important thing which was discussed there at the Bhajan Kutir of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, that so many so-called Babaji says that we should not recite Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly. This is bogus thing. Our all scriptures unanimously claiming that we should recite Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly. Remember, one Babaji told me that where is in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is written that you should chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly. We don't chant loudly. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita they say we should chant the name of Krishna loudly. So they say, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, we should chant like this. Not Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a mantra. This should be chanted on rounds very quietly. This is what the contention of Babaji. Our Swamis and everyone has said Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be chanted loudly. There are many quotations. If we see from Chaitanya Bhagavat also, from other scriptures also, it is very clearly stated. I have to talk to Maharaj, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is there any word saying Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
Hare Krishna is Chaitpuritara, no nama ganana, it's a word from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
What does it say?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Hare Krishna in a loud voice.
It is Uchyai. Uchyai means speaking in the loud voice. Where is it? I want to note down that. First, ready?
Yeah, the verse from the end, it's included in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Then we went to Nirdaya Ghat where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into giving shock to so many people. So the place is called Nirdaya Ghat. Then at the same place, the name of that place was Rudra Deep. All the acharyas went there. R means total five acharyas. One Shankaracharya belonging to Advaitavad, Mayavad, and four acharyas of Vaishnavad. They all came to this place which is called Rudradeep, and they had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu differently. Like when Shankaracharya came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him darshan and said that please don't spread your Mayavad here. It will not do because this place is of my devotees. I ask you to spread this Mayavad to separate my non-devotees from devotees. So you don't try to perform this activity here because everyone here is devotee. And here we discussed what is Mayavad and what is Vaishnavism. And then what is distinction between Vaishnavism of our four acharyas and what is the specialization given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to it. This specialization which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the top of all the prevailing Vaishnava principles, that is called Achintya Bheda Bhed. How this Achintya Bheda Bhed is top, this was discussed there. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that, and Maharaj used one word, on the Vijnanik Bhitti. This is Hindi word, on the Vijnanik Bhitti. Bhitti means wall, and Vijnanik means scientific. What does wall do? Wall gives support to the whole roof on which the building is or all the activities take place. Bhitti means wall. Or support.
Yeah, support.
So, on the scientific support,
a foundation.
Foundation. On the scientific foundation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that which is the most topmost worshipable deity. Sarvashresh upasya kon hai? In Ramanujacharya, they were worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Somewhere they were Lakshmi, worshipping Narsingh, in other they were worshipping, even in Madhvacharya they were worshipping Krishna, Gopal. So in different Vaishnav Acharyas, different Vishnu Tath were worshipped. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that among all these, Vishnu Tattva, which is the topmost, and there he established that Brijendra Nandan Radhika Kant is the topmost worshipable vigraha. And also established Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy. Achintya means inconceivable. Inconceivable means which can be understood by scriptures only, not by the answer of one word, that is called why. How it takes place? Because there are very straightforward statements. If you touch fire, it will burn your finger. If you touch fire, it will burn your finger. It is understandable. But if someone says, why it happens so that fire burns your finger, can you answer it? Similarly, if we eat poison, we will die. Why poison makes a person die? Why poison is poisonous? There is no answer to it. Just these are the characteristics, and if someone tells us and we know it, and this is the answer. What is called that? This is all. That Achintya Bheda Bhed philosophy is the real answer of all the questions. And if we accept that and hear it from bona fide spiritual parampara, the answer is there. principle propagated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inconceivable, but is easily conceivable, easily understandable by our scriptures and parampara. Of course, it is fact that there is no difference between potency and potent, Shakti and Shaktivan. There is only difference between Shakti and Shaktivan when Shakti in fact does not belong to Shaktivan. In material world, all the potencies which we are seeing here in fact don't belong to the so-called potent which we see here. Like a rich man is having lot of money. So money is his potency and rich man is potent. But in fact that money does not belong to him.